Well, again, we're happy to have our brother Mark Lauger with us this evening. I know you'll give him your undivided attention and that the Lord will richly bless you for doing so. So, Brother Mark, come ahead.
Thank you. It's good to be with you this evening. We've been here frequently enough now. It's becoming like a second home to us as we come to Indianapolis from time to time. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15, for scripture reading this evening. We do enjoy coming to Indianapolis and have enjoyed a week of vacation Bible school these past couple of years and are looking forward to this one as well, and hope that the Lord will certainly bless our efforts, and that young people, the children that would come in, would have the Word of God greatly impressed upon their hearts, and it would be a lasting impression. One not simply for the week, and not just for a week of a good time or fun and games, those are a part of it, but that it would be a week of considering the Word of God, and this week especially, the grace of God. And what a wonder and marvel it is that God would be gracious to sinners. And the more I studied and prepared the lessons for this particular week, it's always fresh to study again the grace of God and to make this truth known not only to my own heart afresh again, but then to the young people that come as well. God being kind to His enemies. What is it that we deserve at His hand? Nothing but His fury and His anger and His wrath, and yet His great kindness to sinners. So we bring children in and for this week and seek to show them this great wonder for themselves, that they might enjoy it as much as the rest of us. In John chapter 15. The Gospel Tabernacle, which is the name of the church that where I conduct services in Greenville, we alternate down the verses, and we'll be reading down through verse 16 from John chapter 15, and I'll read the first verse and invite you to read the second verse, and we'll alternate our way through verse 16. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
You are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
We read the scriptures at the Gospel Tabernacle for a couple of reasons. Of course, one of them is to read the Word of God. But the people that come in, many of them don't read well at all. Some of them don't read, period. They're illiterate people, adults, as well as the children who are old enough to read, don't read. And it's an opportunity for them to follow in the text. And those who help us will find the text for them, because they don't know how to find the book of John in the scriptures, and so they'll help them to locate it, and then help follow the way down through the page. And so they are getting, Lord willing, a lesson in reading, but more importantly, a lesson in reading the Word of God, and finding their way through this book, a book that you say, surely people can find the book of John. But you have to teach them even where the table of contents is at the beginning, so that they can begin to find the different books found within the scriptures. They may know a few verses if you talk to them. They may have learned some of the language. But to turn to actually a passage of scripture, it's a much more difficult thing. So we read the Word of God and read it with them. Now before we continue, shall we all pray? Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this night and for your mercy to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the power of the Word that rests in our laps this night. Give us grace that we not ever take it for granted, we not ever disdain or consider it a small thing, but that we might love this book and the Jesus Christ who is revealed in it with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon our gathering together, that we might be strengthened and encouraged in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the work of God. We pray that the fear of God would be in this place, for the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Our Lord in heaven, thou art a great and a terrible God. We pray that you would give us a true vision of the living King of heaven. We might rejoice as greatly in the love of God, the Savior who's died for sinners, sinners like us here tonight. Bless our gathering together, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeff Pastor Bannister came up here this evening. He spoke to Ryan over here, and he says to him, "It's a great relief to have somebody else sitting up here. The evening service, he's relaxed and he doesn't have the pressure that he's going to have to preach." Ran into heavy rain on the way over here, and I'm thinking, well, what if we lose? Danny Amperkin on the way, we're following him. I don't know the roads very well. He's going to have to preach anyway. Well, this isn't uncommon for us at the Gospel Tabernacle. There was one Sunday morning in particular, Paul Overly leads the singing for us. He teaches trombone at Bob Jones University, very capable and talented man. He also preaches for me on occasion and preached for me this morning. And he always has a sermon in his Bible and he's ready. We have to go and get nearly everybody who comes to the services. They're not church people, and they won't come if we don't get them. So I'm off, and I'm going to get somebody, and I stop at a woman's house. Some younger people had come. She was in her late 70s. She's died since then. She had a great deal of concern. Sometimes when I visit her, I think maybe this woman is saved, because she loved to have me read the Bible. She read some missionary stories I gave her, and she would read through these books, cover to cover, give them back to me. Do you have another one? And I'd take her another one. She'd never come out to church. She had to take care of her husband who'd had a stroke, and she was in her 70s herself. Some other people staying in the house. I came in one Sunday morning, and she was terribly concerned about her daughter. Her daughter is a sodomite, and it broke her heart, as an elderly woman, that her daughter's sometimes with a man and sometimes with another woman. There's a real grief to her. I didn't feel like I could just leave. Here I'm looking at my watch. It's almost 11:30. We've got to get started here. This woman had a heart, and I had to take the scripture with what ability the Lord would give me in the hour, encourage her in the Word of God, at least for her own heart, and that she would take this Word and the promises of it for her daughter as well, and that the Lord would deliver her from the wickedness of her heart. Well, I was there till almost noon, and I start preaching at 12 o'clock, and it may have been five after by the time I got there, and Paul's saying, "Oh, one more song, one more song." Well, Paul expects this out of me from time to time. It doesn't happen every week, but he knows, well, this could happen. Brother Jeff doesn't expect this out of me, so I figured if we got lost, he's not going to know where I am, and I'm not going to know where I am, and it could be a difficult place. And all that pressure that he was not feeling is going to be redoubled on him. Well, we made it. I want to thank the Lord for it. There are three things that we keep in mind in the work we're doing. The Word of God, hospitality, and the third thing is to walk with the Lord. These are three things that govern the efforts that we would have to reach people in the inner city of Greenville with the gospel. No, these aren't just for the people who are in the inner city of Greenville. But these three things are for people any place that you would find them. Any place that you'll find sinners, no matter what their background or their lifestyle or the way they live. The people that we deal with are poor by American standards, uneducated and poorly educated. Most that we deal with are very much unchurched people, though they may hang around the churches or the rescue mission and other similar organizations that have food and clothing that either they give away or sell very inexpensively to people in these neighborhoods. Rap music is the music of choice. Jail time is common amongst the young fellas particularly, though the women have their times in and out of the jail as well. Well, the food is different also. Pickled pig's feet is a request we had from one girl we'd invited to our house, Kia. This was something she was looking forward to. We didn't have pickled pig's feet at that occasion, but she'd made it known that that would be something she'd like to have. Collard greens and fatback and chicken feet. English language is spoken, well, sort of. It takes a little listening closely to catch the English language there. The women are constantly trying to straighten their hair rather than trying to put a little curl in their hair. Grandma carries more authority than Mama does, carries more authority than Dad does, if the child knows who his dad is. Violence is common amongst the men particularly, though the women are just as prone to that sort of thing as the men. Drunkenness and indolence. Beer for breakfast on Saturday mornings is just common. And I've seen it often. And those who do work, and there are some who do, they get up and go to work every single day. But they squander their paycheck on all manner of vices. Booze and cigarettes, pornography, drugs, and even chicken dinners. What do I mean by that, squandering their paychecks on chicken dinners? Well, I got $2 in my pocket, and that's all that's there until the next check comes around. I want chicken dinner, so I'm going to spend it. It doesn't matter that there's any more there. That's what I want now, and so that's what I'm going to buy and spend my money on. It doesn't matter if I could use it better some other way. I'm going to go get one at the convenience store, and that's what I'm going to have. And on the way home, while I'm walking home, I'll ask every stranger that I meet along the way for a couple dollars or 50 cents and see if I can get enough together for my next chicken dinner. And if not, then I just won't have one until either the next paycheck comes or until I can find somebody who will give me one. And you add a racial mix to this. And for the most part, that slides to the side once people know that you care about them. But nonetheless, it's a part of the picture. Morality is something. How do you define these things? Stealing is somebody who doesn't pay their rent until you get evicted. You go, and then the landlord is the crook. I've stolen from my landlord. Well, why did he put me out? I was going to get the money together. You know, this was after 3 months of not paying, or 4 months, or waiting until the magistrate finally comes and sets their belongings outside. The landlord's a crook. He wouldn't fix anything around here. Well, no, you didn't pay your rent either. Of course he didn't fix anything around there. Marcus, a man that one of the couple of ladies met one Saturday morning. Great big burly fellow. Looked just as much like a thug as anybody you'd ever meet, but he was just as friendly as he could be. Stunk like alcohol, something awful. Just reeked. Horrific smell. And in conversation with him, you know, he says, I'm not such a bad person. And I learned more of him later, and he was quite a bad person. It's a redefining of the Ten Commandments and of that which is right and wrong. Fidelity is being true to the one you're with. 2 weeks, 3 months, bad night, a fight, and someone else comes along, and now fidelity is the one you're with. Marriage isn't the picture. It's the one you're with. This is righteousness in the minds of many of the people that I deal with. And each generation gets worse, and the degradation spirals every 15 to 17 years or so. Surely it's not that bad. Surely. And very frankly, I would be very careful in the descriptions of things that I would tell you. But there are some things that ought not to be made public. So what's the solution? This is in every city, as Jeff mentions. Greenville, a rather small city. Some 60,000 in the city limits. The greater area, maybe 200 or 250,000 people. And here in this city, you have these houses, one after another, shacks. The government builds new ones. 10 years later, they're not new anymore. And then they build another one and tear that one down. It may not get torn down every 10 years, but they need to be torn down before very long. Indianapolis has its parts of town that are just like it. But the solution is found where? It's found in the Word of God. Greenville, just like most of the cities in America, is a city full of soup kitchens, rescue missions, Salvation Army, government-funded programs, church-funded programs. A man can eat two meals a day in Greenville, and he doesn't have to work. Literacy programs, staffed by various volunteers, drug and alcohol rehabilitation. Religion is on many corners. Feel good about yourself. The charismatic romping and stomping, and the greater the romp and the more stomping, then the more the Spirit is there. And then once the service is over, of course, the Spirit isn't there anymore until next week at that time. And humanism is there. Find the answers within yourself. Lift yourself up. Follow your dreams and you'll get where you need to go. Oh, it's all in Greenville. Keep the kids out of trouble programs. And the mental health department is filling people with all manner of drugs to keep them calm so they don't fight so much. And the problems get worse. But the Word of God is the solution. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It exposes the sinfulness of men who established their own standard of righteousness. Take the Word of God. Go up and sit on somebody's porch. I'd like to read a scripture with you. And turn to Luke chapter 16. Read down through this passage of the rich man and Lazarus. And lit the rich man. He dies and he went to hell. Say right off the bat, this man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Oh, that's right. The other man dies. And he goes to heaven. He didn't go to heaven because he was poor. No, that's right. And get down to the bottom of the passage. Why did the rich man go to hell? Because he didn't repent. And he didn't believe the Word of God. Why did Lazarus go to heaven? Because he believed the Word of God. He had repented somewhere along the way of his life. Are you a bad enough sinner to go to hell? No, I'm not that bad. I'm not that kind of sinner. We'll come back around. If not, the next week. We don't have telephones for the most part, so we get them when we find them. Once we know where they live, we'll keep with them. Well, come back around again. Let's read a scripture. So we turn to Luke chapter 16. How do we read this scripture again? You need to know this one. You didn't get it the last time around. This is for every sinner. For every sinner deserves what that rich man received. And in time, the scripture is learned. And whether or not they'll turn from their sin for it, nonetheless, the scripture needs to be learned and laid heavily to their hearts. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, how? By the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we take the word of God, that they might have faith. And in 1 John 3:8 it says, the Son of Man is made manifest. Why? To destroy the works of the devil. So when we take this book and reveal the Savior who is found in this book, and we read it and then expound it, explain it, describe what's in this book concerning Jesus Christ, this book says the works of the devil are destroyed. All of those things that I listed that are so nasty and vile in our society today and in these neighborhoods where we work, they are destroyed by making Jesus Christ manifest. So shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I'm 41 years old. There are men who have a midlife crisis, roughly at my age. What am I doing? I'm in the middle of this grind. I'm doing one thing after another, day in and day out. Is there any purpose to life? Well, we take the word of God. Whatever else you do with your life, as far as an occupation is concerned, you're going to succeed. And there's absolutely no questions that you are about something that is profitable when taking forth the word of God. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The word went forth, and there most certainly was an increase. Now in the inner city of Greenville, how do we take that word? Well, you can put newspaper advertisements in. Nobody's going to see them. And there's going to be plenty who can't even read them. You can use the radio. And if you can get a spot on their rap stations, you might get a word in there. Go person to person. We have a Sunday morning service. Bring people in. But if they won't come in, we'll go to where they are. To get people that we know. People that we've met. And to stay with them. Two youngsters, Bruce and Kia, brother and sister. They have moved, I'd say, roughly 20 or 25 times in the 10 years that I've known them. I've moved them, helped them move many of those times, so I know very well that they've moved that many times. Sometimes their mother moves without telling me where they're going because she doesn't want me to find them because she doesn't want to hear scriptures. At least at that moment she doesn't. She's in a bad mood or she's mad at me because I told her something she shouldn't be doing. Or her son has told her things she shouldn't be doing that he's learned from us. So she doesn't want me to find her. Well, the Lord makes a way, and we keep finding her. We keep going back. And we keep finding Bruce and Kia. And a little later, share a little bit more about Bruce. My children get to know where people live. And others who come and help us. My kids will show them. They live over here. They can't drive yet. Daniel can. The rest of them can't. So they go with other people and show them where they live. Going door to door. A number of you passed out tracts around the church here, knocking on doors, passing out the flyers. I can have a hard time getting three or four blocks because there's people out. And I can sit down with them and I can open the Bible. Let's read the scripture. And sit down and read and spend time there reading the Bible and talking about the Bible. And they ask questions or they'll make a comment and I'll go to another scripture. Let's respond to this. There is no problem at all finding somebody to talk to. And the entrance of the word giveth life. Use Bible stickers. I take the children. I don't know if you can see these very well from out there, but each one peels off. another reading lesson when I find the kids and able to give it to them. Put one on everybody's little hand, and then I say, here, read this. If they can't, I help them. And then I talk to them about what does this Bible verse say and what does it mean. So we give them that word of life. And at times home Bible studies. When I can find people home, or some people invite me and sometimes I invite myself. That's quite all right. I'll come this way as well. And recently we started a prayer meeting. And Bruce, one boy, is the only one woman came for a little time. But Bruce has come for some months now to a prayer meeting and is very interested in the things of God. But the whole idea is that we take the Word of God very personally and very directly, eyeball to eyeball, sinner to sinner, and seek to give them this Word as fully and as completely as time and opportunity make available. Well, Christian hospitality. This becomes difficult. I have men come and ask me for 50 cents, frequently. $2. Sometimes they'll start at 5. When I say no, they'll go to 2. And when I say no, they'll go to 50 cents. And they're still working on it here. I've probably shared this with at least a few of you. And I've reached the point where I turn it back on them and I'll say, look, I've got a wife and 7 kids. I've got an electric bill. I've got a house payment. I've got a van I've got to keep running. And I've got all of these bills. You don't have a place to stay. You don't have any of those bills. Why don't you give me 50 cents? They understand quick, you know, where we're going here. But there is Christian kindness that is needed. And a lot of these fellows are just panhandling and they're hoping to get to something. But there are times when I'll take my car. And I'll drive a fellow. I took one fellow to work every morning for a week until he got his first paycheck. He got his paycheck, and now he can take the bus. Somebody who actually wants to get on their feet and who actually wants to take care of themselves, they really do have enormous obstacles to be able to overcome. They get out of jail, and nobody wants to hire them. Why not? Because they just got out of jail, you know, for any number of crimes. And if it's a drug crime, that makes it even worse, even if it, if you can call it this, a small drug crime. It makes it even worse. But we look to the Lord Jesus for our example in Christian hospitality. For he entered into the lives of the common people of his day. But he never compromised on his holiness. He entered into Levi's house. He says, Levi, come and follow me. Levi gets up from the receipt of custom and he follows after the Lord Jesus. And he goes after, and there he has a great feast gathered together, and all of his publican friends, all the tax collectors, they're in his house there. And of course, there are those who are quite ready to criticize the Lord Christ for being there. And yet the Lord Jesus never compromised on his holiness in being there. And in the midst of that feast was the Holy Son of God. And though even surrounding myself in some very uncomfortable circumstances, approaching a table or they're playing cards and drinking beer and smoking whatever they're smoking, I don't know and I don't ask. And here they are, and I come along there. I'm going to read a scripture and I'm going to interrupt your card game, at least for a little time. I may not do any more than just share a verse of scripture. Oh, that the Word of God would enter into these places. And the Lord Jesus was at Peter's house, and his mother had a fever. And so the Lord is asked to heal him, and he goes in and raises her up. And we read in verse 32 of Mark chapter 1, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devil, and all with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. He was up late that night, and what crowd of people came to meet him there. I don't know how great a crowd it was. I know it was great. And yet he took time for each one. And he ministered to the needs of everyone who came, and he healed them of their diseases. I can't heal people of their diseases in this fashion, but I can take this word. And I can be helpful to some people in such uses as my car, the way I mentioned, taking that man. Well, why my car? Well, I can talk to him in my car. I can spend some time with him. It'd been a lot easier to give him $5, buy his own bus tickets, and he can get himself back and forth to work. But this gave me about 30 minutes every morning to speak to him concerning his souls. Times we have people into our home. Never anybody who's living together. We'll never sanction that false union. But those who we would have in are people that we know. And of course, we have to be very careful here. I got 7 kids at that house and can't just have anybody in. But nonetheless, to open the home up and say, here, come on into our house. Sit down at our table. We want our friends to join with us for a meal. To help people to move. To help them to get jobs. To drive them so they can fill out an application someplace. Hospitality. Using hospitality, one toward another, showing kindness to all men, well, especially to them of the household of faith, but to all men. So we go forth with the Word of God. And the third thing is to walk with the Lord. We can go forth with the Word of God. Without walking with the Lord, find oftentimes that it's dry and choked, and you're thinking, oh, there's a verse I know someplace. I can't think of it. Where was that verse? What was it? How does that suit here? I just can't remember it now. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Mrs. Andrewkin didn't know it, but she donated a little bit of her ivy to this evening. Now, right now, this is still green and fresh, right? I cut it just before we headed out here for the service. How long does it take for that to dry and shrivel up? I lay it out in the sun, and a few hours, and pretty soon it's brown. It doesn't take very long. Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth fruit. Much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Greenville is full of organizations that are trying to help the very same people that I am. But without Christ, they can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus says, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There are times when I don't feel like going out visiting. There are times when I don't want to mess with other people's problems. And there are times when I don't want to sit in a courtroom all morning and wait until this fellow's trial happens to come up. But I can declare, as the psalmist does in Psalm 40, the faithfulness of God. I have never come away from a time when I didn't want to go, that I didn't come away and say, I am glad I went. And the faithfulness of Christ and the testimony of His Word is why I can say such. Not because I'm somebody or I am something or I went out to do this and, oh, this was so rewarding, because oftentimes it's not. It's nasty, it's dirty, it's bug infested, and it's subjects that are most distasteful. But nonetheless, there is, as the song says, joy in serving Christ. This one, this leaf, these leaves, they've been off a little longer than the vine. When we don't walk with Christ, what happens to us? The daily walk, things start to dry up, and before long, the word is truly distant, and the joy of serving Christ becomes faint. The psalmist says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. And again, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And we come back again to the word. Where does the strength and the desire come from to go forth in the name of Christ? Well, it comes from the Word of God. And there we find Christ is again fresh and rich to our own souls. And there is fruit for laboring for Christ. I mentioned Bruce. I don't know when Bruce was saved. He's 15 years old. His mother has all but abandoned him, except when she needs the check that he gets, because his father died about a year ago. And he gets a Social Security check because he's a minor. And actually, she gets the check. And she kind of keeps him attached to her because she gets this check every month that helps her out, of course. But Bruce was saved somewhere in the last couple of years. It may have been 4 or 5 years ago. What kind of fruit do you look for in Bruce? His mother doesn't look after him. For the previous year, he was living with his sister's father. It's not his father, his sister's father. Because his mother didn't have a place for him in the room she was renting in a house that had been divided up into several apartments. She didn't have a place for him up there, so she's with his sister's father. His sister's father works, but then he drinks beer. He doesn't get mad when he drinks beer. He gets jolly, just the happiest man you've ever met when he's drunk. But he drinks away his money and has practically nothing, though he was kind to Bruce. A few years ago, we took Bruce to a camp, or sent him to a camp for children in North Carolina. He heard some lessons on creation. And oh, it planted a seed in his heart. And he's asked me repeatedly, and I've had opportunity to give him materials. And he's taking these things back into the school where he goes. And he tells other people of creation science and that God created everything. And he's even talked to some of his teachers. For a long time, I didn't see anything in Bruce. What do you look for in a boy who's raised this way? It's not unusual for him to be hungry. He doesn't complain about it. He doesn't fuss. He doesn't ask. But I know he's hungry. Bruce has even taken a couple of these sheets with him back to his school, and he wants to give these verses to his friends. There is fruit. No, there haven't been thousands and thousands that we can point to. But there most certainly is Bruce. And a girl named Latavia from a rough home. Her parents, as far as I know, are married. But her father drinks. He bounces from one job to another. He loses them for what reasons, I don't know. But he and his wife don't let me into their lives, or they're happy for me to take the kids. And Latavia has made a profession. And though she's still pouty and sour-mouthed and has emotional, I guess, problems, nothing that a good paddling won't fix, but she's got these troubles. But she wants to know the Bible. She says, I want you to hear my verses. I've been working on these. And she's learning to memorize the Word of God. Her half-sister, Nikki, who finally left home because the home was too rough, she was taking care of her little sisters, is what she was doing, the other three that were in the house. She went to live with her grandmother. I don't see her much. We have a little contact with Nikki. But Nikki wants to learn the Scriptures. She doesn't have anybody to help her where she's gone to move. But we call her on the telephone, and we'll read the Bible with her over the telephone. We'll talk to her and encourage her. And she went to camp this past year, and she went last year as well. And she wants to go on for the Lord. She doesn't want to live like so many around her live. And Joanne, a woman, lived very badly after she was saved. For many years she lived in much sin. A couple of years ago she came back to the Lord, and we had the opportunity to meet her. And she really wants to live for Christ. She doesn't lead. First grade education is about where she is. She's 52 years old. She has 4 children, and all 4 of them are a terrible grief to her. And she knows it's her own fault that they're a grief to her. But still she prays for them, and she turns out for church, and she loves the Scriptures and loves to have to be around the people of God. And even Ken, I don't know if Ken is saved. Ken has been diagnosed as a schizophrenic. He's a white man. Some years ago he got in a fight with a man who owned a liquor store. The man who owned the liquor store said that Ken tried to stab him. Ken said, I didn't do that. I had some words with him. Of course, Ken was drunk, and he doesn't know what he did or what he didn't do. He goes to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings because he has to in order to be in the government program that he's in so that they'll take care of him. Ken heard one of their programs, one of the spiels that the AA gives. You know, go out and serve a God, any God. You know, just have a higher being that you look to help you with your alcohol problem. You know, Ken comments on this. He said, you know, this tree out here. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't tell you this one. Well, he could see through their foolishness sufficiently that you don't bow down and worship the tree out here. He recognized that this isn't a good thing to be doing. And Ken could see through that. He went to a funeral. He called it an AA funeral. He says, I've never been to one of these before. Said, but I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I believe in him. He says, I'm just an old drunk. I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. He's been dry a couple of years now. He said, I didn't know what to say. But he said, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Ken sometimes turns out for church and sometimes he doesn't. And he has a great deal to struggle with. He has many problems. But he believes that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is his hope. These things, the Lord Jesus says, that you might have joy. We go forth with the Word of God and show hospitality. The hospitality must follow the Word of God, or you end up just like the world. A lot of handouts and give-outs, and another stop on the route. People make the rounds. The Word of God. This is what we're here with first. And as we can, and as the Lord enables, we have hospitality, and seek to give as the Lord gives unto us. And finally, as to seek to walk with the Lord. Or the hospitality isn't any more than just another stop on the road. And the word dries up and it bears no fruit. So the work of the inner city gospel mission or the gospel tabernacle. We go forth with these things. But these aren't things just for the inner city. These are things for the people of God any place. Here in Indianapolis, and hopefully here for you tonight and tomorrow. But hope that it would be an encouragement to each one of you here tonight. And some ideas in the midst of all the rest of the lesson here tonight. That you would first have confidence in the living Word. This book is true. And it's right. And whatever endeavor you take with the authority of this word, it will be successful. That these ideas would be a blessing to you to carry forth this word to those who are in need of Christ, who we find in this book. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your kindness and your mercy to us this night. We thank you for the Word of God that is set forth before us and for the truth that is found here, and ask that you would write it upon our hearts and give us grace and strength to lay hold of this book above all else. Our God in heaven, we pray that you would teach us to live for the glory, the kingdom of God, and for the honor of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.